Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Ravel, and this is the Value Side Weekly Preview for the week of September 13 to 17. In the week ahead, it's a surprising look at inflation from around the world. Well, each week, analysts and economists take a careful look at the coming economic reports for the week. And when you put all the brain power together, it turns out that they're remarkably accurate. It's a rare instance where the Wall Street estimates are very far wrong, and when they are, it's usually headline news. It can have some far-reaching implications for the stock market. So I thought it would be worthwhile to outline for you what the Street sees in its crystal ball for this week, and we can follow along as the actual reports are released. This week we have no fewer than 7 major reports and 1 estimate on inflation. And if the analysts are correct, we should see rising inflation from France, Italy, Spain, Canada, and Great Britain. Also, it's expected that the Germans will report higher wholesale prices, an indication of creeping inflation at the wholesale level. And the inflation estimate will come from the American consumers on Monday, as they'll project just what they see in the way of inflation in coming months. And all of those reports should be higher inflation across the board. And this is perfectly in line with the generally accepted scenario of higher global inflation. For weeks now, Wall Street has become convinced that we're caught in an inflationary spiral. But as I've said, I'm not so convinced in this case. A careful look at these 5 countries' inflation rates show that the rate of increase is now beginning to slow. Even the U.S. consumers are now looking for a mere 0.1% increase in inflation. Now, perhaps the most surprising of all, both India and the United States are expected to run counter to this trend, as they both see declines this month in their inflation. That's a real surprise. And if the Street is correct, there are some other surprises ahead this week. Tuesday night U.S. time, China is slated to release a whole bunch of economic data, and they'll give us their latest reading on retail sales, industrial production, and fixed asset investments. That's analogous to our durable goods orders. All 3 of these measures, retail sales, industrial production, and fixed asset investments, and all 3 of these projections were expected to be lower for the month of August. Again, a real surprise. Finally, the U.S. will give a similar data dump on Thursday when we report on industrial production and retail sales. Again, just like those Chinese numbers, analysts are looking here for declines in U.S. in both industrial production and retail sales, 2 core measures in the macroeconomy. What's more, analysts see those initial claims for unemployment insurance continuing to hold above the 300,000 level, a sign that although the economy may be improving, it's still a very, very slow recovery at that. And perhaps overall, that's what we can say Wall Street sees in all of these economic numbers this week. A slow, laborious economy that is still far from being back on track, with a surprisingly muted picture on inflation. Now, a look at the earnings calendar this week shows only 1 major firm on tap to report, and that will be Oracle Systems. They'll hold their earnings conference call late Monday afternoon. And that's our preview for the week of September 13 to 17. Stay tuned for our market comments. Well, you don't talk about your favorite dessert with someone who's trying to lose weight, or the best whiskey with your friend who's on the wagon. And you certainly don't talk about debt default in the presence of our delicate international bankers. But unfortunately, that's just what happened last night in China, as their 2nd largest real estate firm, with the always positive name of Evergrande, is in danger of defaulting. Over on this side of the Pacific, futures have been trading in an orderly fashion, and we'll have more to say about that in just a moment. But this is par for the course, as equity investors tend to overlook much of the credit markets until things get really dire, and we're not there. At least not yet. As one Chinese investment banker noted, this situation is like the gray rhino. It's highly obvious, but an ignored threat. Like most real estate developers, both in China and here in the USA, leverage is their best friend, at least when things are going well. New homes are selling, construction costs are steady, and interest rates are low. But change any of those factors, and developers can quickly get into trouble. And that certainly appears to be the case for Evergrande. A softening in sales, combined with higher commodity prices, principally lumber, and suddenly, Evergrande is beginning to feel the pinch. Now, the first to notice were the Chinese rating agencies, which reduced Evergrande's junk bond ratings even lower. So low, in fact, that the bonds are no longer considered appropriate collateral in the repo markets. Now, the repo markets are a principal way that institutional investors use bonds to enhance their yield. Take away that enhancement, and the institutional investors quickly lose their interest. It becomes harder and harder for Evergrande to sell bonds in the marketplace. Now, the effect is that the bonds were sold off, dropping more than 25% in price. It's a vicious cycle that was created, causing the exchanges in turn to step in and halt trading in Evergrande bonds. You can imagine that management at Evergrande is having a particularly bad day today. Combine this with the fact that in less than 3 weeks, Evergrande needs to roll over $200 million in a note that is no longer very attractive. And you can see that things are rapidly going from bad to worse. And it's not just Evergrande affected here. The entire Chinese real estate sector is beginning to feel the pain. With only a little more than 100 days left in this year, Chinese real estate firms must find financing for the over $14 billion of maturing bonds and notes that they must now refinance. It's not going to be an easy task. Like that old gray rhino we've seen for a while, it looks like in the next few months, we're going to find out just how destructive this situation might be. Well, this is a year of economic recovery, a time when nations around the world have seen their businesses and industrial sectors struggle to come back to the economic devastation that was 2020. For analysts and economists, it's been a difficult time to ascertain just how well each recovery is doing. Just look at last week's job report for the United States. Analysts expected America to have added 750,000 new jobs. In fact, only about 250,000 were added, a miss of 500,000 new jobs. It was a real blow to the sentiment on Wall Street, and you still are hearing traders and investors talking about the, quote, weak jobs market. Well, a similar event happened last night, as once again the analysts were caught flat-footed. Only this time, it was a very, very positive turn of events. In a report released overnight, Japan reported that their gross domestic product, the most comprehensive measure of any country's economy, grew at an annual rate of 1.9%. And what makes this so exceptional is how far wrong the economic projections were going into the release. Expectations were that Japan was in the midst of a major recession, with the economy declining at more than 4%. This would have made this one of the worst periods for their economy for some time, and putting Japan right back in the doldrums that they fought last year. And in fact, the economy was considered to be so bad that this was a major reason that Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga was forced from office just last week. New elections scheduled shortly. No doubt Suga must wish that the economic report could have been released before that vote of no confidence. In any event, the overall report on the economy shows a dramatic uptick in business spending and a desire on the part of the Japanese business community to return to normal. You see, there's a very big difference between an economic environment where the economy is growing, albeit slowly, than an economy which is shrinking. During a recession, there simply isn't enough cash flow to maintain businesses. Less money flowing through the system means that workers have to be laid off, shops closed, and in the worst case, businesses must declare bankruptcy. And all that appeared to be in Japan's future. But instead, today is a brand new day for Japan. The country is doing better than anyone could have thought. This should help promote a new round of business confidence. Combine this with a new prime minister and the promise of substantial government stimulus, and things are looking better and better for Japan. Well, just a few minutes ago, we had the latest decision by the European Central Bank on interest rates, and it's their basic verdict on projected European inflation. You remember inflation. It's a topic that among the cognoscenti here in this country is a settled issue. The street, by and large, thinks that inflation is here to stay. And you may remember just a few weeks ago that both the Fed and the Treasury were hooted out of the room when they both suggested that American inflation was, quote, temporary. Bah, humbug, said the Wall Street analysts. Inflation is here to stay. Just look at the price of commodities, the cost of food and gas. Inflation is a problem that we will have to deal with for a long, long time. Well, that's very true. We have had to deal with some of the largest price jumps in the cost of living that many have seen in their lifetimes. Inflation, at least as it concerns the average American's pocketbook, has been dramatic. And yet there are indications that worldwide, while the Americans have had to deal with inflation, the rest of the world may not. Let's go back to that interest rate decision by the ECB, the European Central Bank. While it's part of an overall strategy of bond purchases and other stimuluses, fundamentally, the ECB is saying loud and clear that inflation is not an issue for the long term. The Netherlands, France, Italy, and Switzerland all have inflation rates below 2.5%, and the euro area overall has an inflation rate of just 3%, not what you'd call high inflation. What's more, there are countries that, while not part of the euro, were starting to see some cooling in their inflation around the globe. Last night, we saw Mexico, Russia, Japan, and China report lower inflation in their various measures. Now, for investors, inflation is one of those critically important benchmarks that help set the overall level of their investment portfolio. The real rate of return for any asset is calculated on the return an investor can expect to make over and above the inflation rate. Simply put, it's the way that analysts determine whether a stock or bond is a good investment, and it's all based on that rate of inflation. So this morning, when the European Central Bank holds their basic interest rate at zero and thereby proclaims that inflation going forward is not a problem for Europe, they're making a pretty bold comment on inflation, and one which for now at least seems to be supported by the numbers. So stay tuned. This will be an ongoing debate. And that's ValueSide for the week of September 7th to 10th. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying for those left behind in Afghanistan.